I want you to take your Bible, please, and turn back into the book of Proverbs. We're going to deal with Proverbs one more night. Tonight, we're going to study on that a little bit off and on. And next week, Lord willing, we'll be going back to the Kings. I'll try and give you a little break from that. It's history. It's a little bit boring, but you got to have it. You need it. Not necessarily to win somebody to the Lord, but to kind of help you keep your conversation with people. I'm more concerned now than I've ever been about people in the churches that don't seem to have much knowledge of the Word of God. Amen. They've been going to churches for years and years and years, and they don't seem to know anything. And they just don't even know the basic fundamentals. That's bad when you don't know the basic fundamentals. Now, a lot of people like that. You say, well, I know them. I know you know them. Amen. I appreciate you folks. Amen. Some of you have learned them years ago. You've hung to them as long as I've been here. And you stay with me, and I appreciate that. And so I'm not here trying to, get onto your case about that. But I am here to try to deepen and widen your intelligence in the Word of God. There's a lot of things you've learned about the Bible. And I know if you don't say amen, I ought to knock a knot on your head. But I'll tell you, you know you've been studying the Word of God a long time. But sometimes I preach things and you have forgotten. And when I say it, you say, oh, I remember that. And sometimes you'll even go into detail in thinking on what I said, and you know more about what I said than what I said. Because you studied it, right? And so here we are with the Word of God. We want to go into the book of Proverbs chapter 1. Last week we dealt with chapter 1. And verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I went through the punctuation portion of the book of Proverbs. And I hope you've used that and in your studies in this past week and looked at it. Now, this is broken down. And I talk about punctuation. I'm not an English major. I ain't even a major. I don't know much about English. But I want to prove some things tonight that we look in the wrong directions for sometimes, and most of the time, I guess 90% of the time or better, look at the wrong places to find wisdom. What is a proverb? I've looked at this, and I mentioned it last week, that a proverb is a short sentence conveying some moral truth in a concise and pointed manner. In other words, it's something to get your attention, something to get you thought on, something to get you to thinking with, and that's what a proverb is. And, of course, you can look and you can get a lot of different ideas about proverbs. But as we look at this, let's read the first four verses, and I'll show you and back up and show you kind of what I said last week for just a little bit of reminder, and then we'll look at this business. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 1 said, the Proverbs of Solomon. Now, I may say a proverb every once in a while, and you may have a few proverbs. Your grandma might have a few proverbs. Your mama might have a few proverbs. Your daddy may have a few proverbs. But we're going to look at the Proverbs of Solomon. The difference is tonight, if I've got a proverb, amen, it's not inspired of God. It's not penned down by holy men of old. Solomon's proverbs were. So it means that we ought to pay more attention to them than we should our own proverbs. Now, Mama says some good things, and she's helped you down the road. But it's not inspired. Now, if you disobey some of it, you might think it's inspired. Amen, when she gets a hold of you. But it said here, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. We looked at that last week. We'll not look back at that again today. Verse 2, he said, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Now, last week we talked about the punctuation. If you notice verse 1, don't have a period. Verse 2, don't have a period. Verse 3, don't have a period. Verse 4 does. The first four verses are actually one sentence. One complete sentence. Now, if you look at that, then it breaks down and says a wise man. And if you look at it, these first four verses are dealing with one subject. And if you're not careful, you won't see it. And it's Proverbs. So we're going to talk about those just for a little bit tonight. In verse 5, he talks about a wise man. No period in verse 5. Verse 6, got a period. So verse 5 and 6 deals with a wise man. Amen. Verse 7 has a period, so it deals with the fear of the Lord. You see that subject? And that's the way we're going to deal with this book when we go through it. Verse 8, it has a colon, and verse 9 has a period. So verse 8 and 9 are taking care of one subject, and that is my son. And in this case, it's my son, hear the instruction. And then in verse 10, there's a period, and it's this time, my son, if sinners entice thee. A different subject. And then in verse number 11, as you see, it's a colon. Verse 12 is a colon. Verse 13 is a colon. Verse number 14 is a colon. Verse number 15 is a colon. Verse number 16 is a period. So that's another sentence. And I didn't go through all of them, and we won't. We'll look at them as we come down. I'm just giving you the idea to get you subjects. Now, in this subject, we find that it's going to still deal with my son, and this time walking in the way of the Lord and so forth. And we'll deal with that when we come to it. Now, let's go tonight back to verse 1. And it said the Proverbs. Wouldn't it be stand the reason tonight that if we're going to have Proverbs, that the word Proverbs would be mentioned a lot of times in the book of Proverbs? But strangely enough, it's not. The word Proverbs is mentioned in chapter 1 and verse 1. It's mentioned in chapter 10 and verse 1 and chapter 26 and verse 1. And I want to look at that. Chapter 1 and verse 1 we've done read. But chapter 10 and verse 1 says the Proverbs of Solomon. We want to make sure God is wanting us to know where these came from. It's important. And we talked about who he was as a son of David last week. And I even gave you his parents, Bathsheba and David, of course. And then in chapter 26 and verse number 1, and we'll see what he says there a little. And that's the times that it's mentioned in the book of Proverbs, those three times. Isn't that strange? He said, chapter 26 and verse 1, I believe is right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, that's what I got wrote down. All right. Thank you. Chapter 25 and verse 1. These are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. So look at this. You see the Proverbs of Solomon. And he mentions that tonight. So I just wanted to mention that three times. Now Ecclesiastes has him mentioned one time, and that is Solomon's book too as well, the preacher. Chapter 12 and verse 9, if you want to put that in your notes there. And we go back and look at, I always look at these words. You got the word Proverbs, and then you got the word proverb. And Proverbs is plural. Proverb is singular. And you'll find what it says in chapter 1 of Proverbs. 1 and verse number 6, it said to understand a proverb. Now this is in a different subject. He's talking about a wise man. We've not got there tonight. We'll take a while to get there. To understand a proverb and the interpretation. Now, the Proverbs is a hard book to study to get the interpretation it completely, because you run in a little section of two or three little verses, and then you read the next three verses, and it'll be an entirely brand new subject. And it jerks and warps your little mind back and forth. God wants you to remember how to change and stay with the text and stay with it. Now let's go tonight, and I'm going to talk about this for just a little bit. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Verse 2. And we'll look at this and you'll see there's two statements in verse number 2. The first statement is to know wisdom and instruction. And then we find that the second statement is to perceive the words of understanding. I don't know how far we'll get in this. But we're going to see tonight that Proverbs in chapter 1 and verses 2, 3, and 4 is going to tell us what we need or what these Proverbs are for. God tells us why He's given them to us. Number one, He's given us the Proverbs to know wisdom and instruction. Now, there's another word. I want you to look at the words here just kind of rapidly. Look with these first four verses. We're probably not going to deal with none of the others. We'll deal with some other places in the Bible. But look at verse number 2. To know wisdom and instruction. So a big key word there is wisdom. You see it? Another key word is instruction. That's important. Another key word is understanding. And also a word before that, perceive. All these have to do with what you know and your knowledge. And by the way, there's a lot of difference between knowledge and wisdom. And we have to understand that. Some people are wise and some people think they have wisdom and some people you think have wisdom, but they don't even know God. And how can you have wisdom without God? We're going to talk about that tonight. We got some smart dudes in the world. And we call them, boy, he's a wise fella. He may be wise, but if you don't know God, you don't have true wisdom. He may know a little bit about wisdom and knowledge, but he don't know what wisdom. And I'm going to show you the key to having wisdom tonight. Wouldn't you like to have wisdom? I don't care where my IQ is, low or high, but I do want wisdom. It's important to have wisdom. People who are wise and got wisdom, brother, make the right decisions and never go wrong. And we're going to look at this tonight. Wisdom don't come from a textbook. Understanding will. Knowledge might. But wisdom comes from God. We're going to look at that. Then we find in verse number 3, instruction is another word. It's mentioned in verse 2 as well. And wisdom, which is mentioned in verse 2. And justice and judgment and equity. And to give subtlety to the simple. And to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Where he can make and discern. And how did you know? You know, I want to know, and I like to know. And I wish I had it, and I wish I had more wisdom. I got a little bit of wisdom. Amen. If I could measure it, if I could find enough of it, I'd put it on the scale and show you I didn't have much. Amen. Wisdom's something that's treasured, and we ought to treasure it. We ought to desire it. Now, what is wisdom? Let me just give you a few little words to throw at you. You can look these up as good as I can. And this is kind of teaching, and this is what I like to do. Verse by verse, and this is how you learn. I can't learn you anything. I can teach you, but I can't learn you anything. God has taught me a lot of things, but He ain't never learned me nothing. Amen. I don't know because I haven't. It's not because I hadn't been taught, I have. It's because I hadn't put it to play what He's taught me. So I'm the teacher, and you're the teacher sometimes when you're teaching others. But I can't learn you. That's between you and God. I can present the facts and the truth. And so we want to look at what this is tonight. To know wisdom. What is wisdom? I wrote it down as this. It's intelligence. But not all intelligence is wisdom. If you got wisdom, you have some intelligence. Right? but you can have some intelligence and really not have wisdom. I know some people that can take an automobile engine, tear it apart, put it all back together, and never have to have a manual to do it, and crank it right up. I say that's intelligence. And that's pretty smart, but it's not divine wisdom, even though God gives that from above. I say he's pretty smart, and in my eyes, in your eyes, we'll call him kind of wise in subjects. But you got to remember that the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God are two different things. You get that out of 1 Corinthians. I won't have time to go there tonight. So I'm trying my best to kind of understand this to us. We also know that wisdom is not only intelligence, but it's understanding. Now, there's some folks don't have no intelligence, and they can't understand. Sometimes it's like talking to a dog. You can't, and I'm not putting nobody down. Don't get me wrong. But you can explain things over and over and over. You ever done that to a child? Sometimes it takes you months before you ever get them to understand what you're trying to say. Maybe you don't know how to teach them. That's been my problem sometimes. But maybe at the same time, they may have a problem that they can't concentrate and get what you're telling them. But understanding is good. All of us have to have an understanding. We can't have an understanding unless God gives us an understanding. Amen. And all understanding comes from God to some degree or another. But understanding by itself is not wisdom of God. May bring us to the wisdom of man. Perception, perceiving. Looking out and figuring out there's just some folks, have you ever heard, when you was a kid, they'd say, you just need some common horse sense. I was told it. My daddy would tell me, he said, what you need some common horse, son, think on that a minute. Get some common horse sense. I always wished he'd have said, just get some common sense. I didn't want to be compared to a horse, but he always said, you need some horse sense. Right? And so we know that all this comes from God. Let's take our Bible and go tonight to the book of Exodus. Hold your place there, because we're going to come back. In Exodus chapter number 28, I want to get into this thought. You see, I'm on the surface right now, but I want to get into the Word of God and let the Word of God teach us something. Exodus chapter 28. And I want to read, I'll just take off the reading some of it. We'll quit somewhere. In Exodus chapter 28, the Bible said in verse 1, and take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, as even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. Now we know what happened to Nadab and Abihu. Amen. God killed them. But we're not getting into that thought tonight. Verse 2, and thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. Have you ever stopped to think about that a minute? Why did they have those garments? Amen. It wasn't garments just to cover their nakedness, although it did. It was garments for two things. For glory, to bring glory to God. If you don't think what you wear don't bring glory to God, you better take yourself a better look at that. And for beauty. Amen. God didn't want them looking at, He didn't want them. You ever seen these new preachers coming in with their shirt tail out of their pants and not even got a tie on? I wouldn't doubt if some of them don't go to the pulpit with flip-flops on. Got a plastic or a glass pulpit. Somebody said, what's wrong with that? Ezra made a pulpit of wood. Amen. You said, why, preacher, I wouldn't get that fanatical. I am. I like a wood pulpit. I've never preached on a glass one. I'm liable to slap it one night and it fall apart. Amen. But he said in verse number 3, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted. I preached this something not too long ago, whom I have filled with the, notice this now, what's it say? Spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. All right, now we want to talk about that. He wants to give them the spirit of wisdom. And we're talking about a proverb. God's given a proverb to give us wisdom. Why should we read the book of Proverbs? For wisdom. Amen. You said, well, that is kind of boring to me to look at. You get wisdom out of that. Every time I read the book of Proverbs, and I read it quite often, I read one a day or try to, I sometimes miss it and I'll get to the next day. And I read those Proverbs. I read my Bible, but I maybe somewhere else reading 10 or 12 chapters at a different place, and I may just skip my proverb for that day, but I get it the next day. But what I'm trying to tell you is that God gives us these proverbs to give us wisdom. That's what they are, and we're talking about this wisdom. Now, in verse number 4, it said, and these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a midriff, and a girdle, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Now, we'll hold it on that for a moment. But notice that little phrase, spirit of wisdom. And we have these proverbs, and they give us the spirit of wisdom. We all need wisdom. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Now slide over to Exodus chapter 31. The 31st chapter of the book of Exodus, just a few chapters over. And when we get to chapter 31, we want to read down in, we'll read at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, and he gives him the name, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the what? The Spirit of God. You remember I told you the Old Testament didn't have indwelling in the Spirit of God? God said, I filled him with it. Now God gave him that Spirit of God. And then that got to come in, what's it say in the next two words? In wisdom. Are you getting where I'm coming from tonight? You see where we're going to? These proverbs are given to us that we will get wisdom. And the wisdom of God and the proverb has to come through the Spirit of God. I'm nothing without the Spirit of God. Now what else you get? In wisdom and in understanding. And in knowledge. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. But God gives you, can give you all that in the same package. I don't believe you could be wise without having some knowledge of something. But I do believe you can have some knowledge of some things and not be wise. And in all manner of workmanship, I don't believe you can do anything without the hand of God on you. I don't believe I can do anything without the hand of God on me. That's why every child of God ought to be praying that we have the Spirit of the living God manifested every time we study, every time we walk and talk, and every time we do anything for the Lord. I'm not saying that you have to beg the Lord to come in. He's already in. But we need to let Him have our business. He needs to take charge of everything about us. Now, verse 4, he said, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass. Have you ever looked at something somebody's doing and you say, he's got the art of that? There's some things that some people do that I'll tell you right now, you'll be amazed if you just watch them. You say, they know what they're doing. And the reason you can say that is because you know you couldn't do it like they do it.
Yeah.
And you think, boy, they're smart. No, it's not necessarily. It's the wisdom of God. God has given that. Nothing. Have you ever seen preachers that seem like they're, great, great men of God that can teach you, tell you, help you, strengthen you, encourage you? And you say, oh, they're a blessing. Where they get that? It's not the applesauce we're eating. Amen. It's the Spirit of God. I come to church, I want the Spirit of God to work on me. Amen. And some of the younger fellas, they believe they don't have the Spirit of God unless they can run three ways down the aisle. I used to be there myself until I got to where I couldn't run no more. God will change them little boys. And it's not how loud we holler, and it's not how high we jump, but it's the inflowing or the outflowing of the inflowing Spirit that makes the difference. And God drives it home. When the preacher preaches, it just drives it out, makes it open to us. Thank God for that. Now, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. We're living in days of people that are just kind of, what do we call them? Specialists. The medical world is a specialist world. You used to go to the doctor, and the doctor, he was a general practitioner, and he didn't send you everywhere. He gave you this. He thought he was going to heal you with it, and heal you with that. Of course, now, you go in one day, and they're going to have to send you to a specialist. And then when you go to the specialist, he'd go out and send you to a surgeon. Right? And you go to him, and now he's going to have to send you to the rehab. I mean, that's the way it works. It's just, amen. They used to do that all the time, amen. And the doctor would take care of it. Somebody said, what about back yonder when they took out tonsils? I told a little old boy one day, I said, well, they used to take tonsils out in barber chair. He said, huh? They didn't, but I had him shook up. But I'm telling you tonight, we look at these things, God wants to show us that He is the author of it. If we want this church to go forward, He's going to have to get charge of everything. Not just the preacher, all of us. There's no limit to what God could do with this church. I've said that over and over and over and over. And then we go home and say, well, He's right. And we never do anything to change it. And He goes on to say, and I, behold, I have given with Him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamah, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put what? Wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. Now we're going back to Proverbs, verse number 2, to know wisdom. All right? Now we'll go a little bit further. I want to go to the book of Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, I ain't going to get very far, but I'm going to get far enough maybe to where you can just see what we got. And so we're going to look in Deuteronomy chapter 34. Chapter 34 of the book of Deuteronomy. And God comes across with this again. And He tells us in verse number 8, verse 8, 34:8 says, I believe I'm right. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. Moses has just died. God buries His workmen, but His work goes on. Amen. And Joshua, verse 9, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. You probably haven't stopped to think about these that much. But Proverbs gets your attention to see it. The spirit of wisdom. I want the spirit of wisdom. I want the spirit of wisdom as much or more than these people want the gift of tongues. Wouldn't it be better to have the spirit of wisdom? I think they're looking for the wrong one. Matter of fact, of all the nine gifts that's in there, they want to speak in tongues, and that's what they want.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, a good one you want, if you ought to get, if you don't have it, and that's the spirit of discernment.
Amen.
You know what discernment is? Tell him what's right, what's wrong, to know what to do and how to do it. All right. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. Woo! Have you ever thought of that? In the New Testament, they laid their hands upon him and received the Holy Ghost. Well, they didn't receive it here. They just had, they weren't indwelled with it. They just was overpowered with it and filled with it, in a sense, not to possess them constantly, but for that period of time for that work. That's what God did in the Old Testament. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. I just wanted to mention to you that he had that spirit of wisdom. Go over to the book of 1 Kings. And you're going to get an interesting story. You've heard this before, but let's look at it. 1 Kings chapter 3. You said, preacher, you're just taking too long for these words and getting bogged down. We're studying the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a Bible teacher. I'm a Bible preacher. Amen. I like the Word. And I don't like to skip nothing. Sometimes you said, yeah, but preacher, you add things in. Sometimes it ain't there. Well, I'm just going by what the Spirit of God tells me. I don't add to the Word of God. I don't take away from it. I just try to explain what God's already given. 1 Kings chapter 3, I want to start reading there at verse number 16. Now we're going to talk about the wisdom of Solomon. Matter of fact, we've been talking about wisdom ever since we started with these Proverbs, haven't we, tonight? In verse 16, then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, oh, my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house. And I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, it's a three-day-old child now, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. She laid on it. Smothered it to death. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. There's a strange thing about mamas. They know their children, don't they? And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, nay, but the son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. They brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child into two, and give half to the one and half to the other. He said, that ain't very smart, is it? Watch it. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was, unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged. They feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Now, if you'll turn back to the book of Proverbs, you'll find that the Proverbs are given to us for another reason. I'm going to skip down to verse 3, and this is out of order. But it says, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and, what's that word? Judgment. So you see, Proverbs gives us judgment. Tells us how to get it right. It's important. You see, there's a real serious reason for us to study the Proverbs. To read them. Amen. Little old saying, you said, oh, they're kind of entertaining. If you'll look at them sometime, they're not too entertaining at all. They'll knock a knot on your head. They have mine many times. Because the Word of God is strong. He tells us just like it is. He don't beat around the bush with us. Now go to 2 Kings. I'm trying to find me a place to quit. But in 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter number 4. And when we get to there, let's look at verse 29. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my stuff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff, I said stuff, well, to go with staff, ain't it? Lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awakened. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. And I'm just showing you what the wisdom of God does. It helped the man of God, didn't it? Amen. Well, I'm going to hold it there. There's some more on that wisdom. Let me give you these scriptures to write down and go home and read them. I want you to look at these. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 verse 12. Matter of fact, I'm going to read that one because it goes pretty deep of what I want you to see. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, first chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles, and we'll see what he has to say to us. And verse 12, wisdom and knowledge, ain't that what we've been talking about, is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. Now this is Solomon. He prayed. God said, what do you want, Solomon? Solomon said, I want wisdom. He said, well, you didn't ask for houses and land and money and even your enemies in your hand. I'll give you this. And he did. And he made Solomon that way tonight. And I give God the praise for that. Now, let me just give you something. Solomon is the one that let his wives take him down. He lost the throneship because of all the wives that he had. Somebody said, didn't he know any better? Have you ever heard people say, you see somebody fall, a man fall or a woman fall, and you look at that and say, if it wasn't for the grace of God, that could be me? Are you saying they didn't have grace? Stop thinking about that a minute. They did. So don't look at that. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you've got the grace of God tonight. But that don't keep you from doing the things that are wrong. You've got to appropriate it. Amen. You've got to watch every step you make. You've got to watch where you go and what you do and how you do it. You've got liberties tonight to do wrong. God ain't going to make you do right. It's the grace of God that's keeping you, and God has given you your choice. So you better guard what you've got. But I want to tell you this, Solomon sinned, but you got to remember another thing today. It's different than it is today. Solomon did not have a complete copy of the Word of God. Amen. He had just a portion. Neither did he have the Spirit of God indwelling in him. We've got a full copy of the Word of God, and we're indwelled by the Spirit of God. And I believe we step out of line like they did, we're in bigger trouble. You may not agree with that theology, but I believe that today. See, they weren't... When I step out of line, right now, when I even entertain a thought, the Spirit of God does right then and said, uh-uh, don't work. Uh-uh.
You're right.
And if you don't have that tonight, you better get in the altar. Something's wrong with your spiritual life.
Amen.
I'm glad I got that. Now, sometimes I do things that's contrary to what God tells me. But it's because I ignore the wooing of the Spirit of God down in here. Right?
Yep.
I hate to tell you that happens, but it does. God help you. I've enjoyed teaching tonight, and I pray that God will help you with this tonight. Heads bowed. Father, give us wisdom. Give us understanding. Lord, maybe tonight we'll see that we need wisdom more than we need anything else. We need it more than a bank account. We need it more than a good car. We need it more than a fine, fancy place to live. Lord, we need it more than anything. And I pray, God, tonight you'll give us the wisdom of God. And we can't get it from the world. We'll have to get it from your book. And I pray, God, you'd teach us to show us your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I'll just say you're at liberty to go tonight. Praise God. And...